Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon.
And we still don't have one. Have you noticed that, Jason?
We still don't have one, and it would be great to have something in Stouffville.
Yeah. Actually, that's only a partial truth, because we do kind of congregate in the Hummingbird Hub every Tuesday right after this show. So generally we're over there about 11:15. And
that's right.
As you know, Jay, we spend probably 45 minutes there till noon. And we're basically there to be available. And that doesn't mean we're there to be counselors or anything, because we're not. But we support people. And we support any kind of people, no matter what their problem, and no matter where they come from, and no matter what shape they're in at any moment. Good, bad, indifferent, rich, poor, it doesn't really matter. We'd like to just support people, and so we're there to, you know, to support people, to support the efforts of that station, of Laura Cusack and her gang. They're actually, I referred to them as a station, but they're actually a kind of a pivotal point, I think, for a lot of charitable organizations that exist around the city, you know, around Stouffville. And I think what Laura's overall effort is to kind of make available everything that is available to the person who needs it, you know, at the time that they need it. So she's a great gal, and I think she's able to really pull it all together professionally in a real nice kind of way that's most helpful and really efficient. So we'll be over there. Jay and I will be over there, I expect.
I'll be there. Yep.
Super. And I can count on Jay more than me, but but we'll both be there today, because we're on air now. So anyway, we had a guest who was coming in today, and his name is Todd Shearing. He's an expert in codependency. In other words, not the person that's depending on the booze, drugs, whatever, not the so much the compulsive person, but rather somebody who probably is, in the beginning anyway, someone who's always fixing, who's looking to save everybody, be a kind of a mini rescuer, someone who, when someone is in need, this person kind of comes out of the woodwork and, you know, here I come to save the day sort of thing.
Right.
You know? And interestingly enough, that is kind of all of us, I think, at the basis. You know, we're born, and from the time we're born, we have an innate wish or a will or an automatic system that wants to keep us going, keep us alive, and then as we age a little bit, we realize we have some abilities, and once we start thinking we have some choices, we want to know how we can keep control of ourselves, and that's not an easy thing to do. And generally, I think what happens over a period of time is, as we grow and really make the ultimate effort to take care of ourselves in whatever way we can, we realize that we always sort of fall short, you know, like regardless of who we are and, what we may be saddled with. Jay, for instance, didn't get the best card in the book but he's found ways around, and he lives a wonderful, productive life, and I don't want you to misunderstand this. But he was dealt a tough hand, you know, let's put it that way. And he shows me every time I see him that even though he goes through tons, he's able to smile, he's able to be up, and a lot of that is his attitude, I think, and it's just the way he looks at life, and I admire him for it. However, many of us, even no matter how perfect we may think we are in any way, shape, or form, and that's not including me, by the way, but there are a lot of people who are just blessed in so many different ways. They don't seem to get it emotionally. They don't seem to get it physically, and you sort of wonder, you know, why would our Creator make one like him, and then one like me, and then one like someone else? And we don't know the answer to that. But as we drive and try to keep control of ourselves, we realize somewhere along the road that all by ourselves, we're not going to get very far. And usually at that point, it's kind of like, well, I thought I could kind of control everything, but I realized by myself I can't, you know. And we realize as we get older that's completely normal. But when we first get a realization that, no, I am really not totally self-sufficient, never was, never will be, we realize that, you know, our innate want to be in control is just not being satisfied. And generally at that point, depending on who we are, we find ways around it, whatever that may be. And in many cases, though, people want to escape the fact that they're really not in control. And from that comes this codependency, this trying to control things on the outside of us to make us feel better on the inside of us. So that generally comes down to, well, I can't control me, so I'm going to make the ultimate effort to control you, to control my kids, to control whatever I can get my hands on, to fix whatever I can, because I'm going to stay busy working on things outside of me, because working on just me, I know I can never get my 100% satisfaction. And anyway, again, we learn over time, we never get that anyway. So, but codependency comes from, I believe, not being in control, recognizing it, going outside to try and control other things, and then eventually realizing that we really don't have 100% control of anything, anywhere, yeah, anytime.
No, we don't.
And that almost hurts, you know, when you first, you know, I don't know, and you may understand this really well or not at all, I'm not sure, but I always found that I'd look for a way around where I didn't feel like I was in control and see another way that would still get me the ultimate whatever it was I was trying to go after at that time by going this other route. And it was only in my case when I started to not see those other routes to get to the top of whatever it was I was trying to do,
of course, yeah,
that I got in trouble.
Right.
You know? And so I'm as codependent as everyone else. But unfortunately, a lot of codependents, and as I say, I think we all are, a lot will not only try to escape, but they'll find an escape that seems satisfying over time. And that could be exercise, it could be intellectual stimuli, it could be drinking, it could be drugs, it could be sex, it could be gambling, any of the compulsive or potentially addictive ways would be somewhat satisfying for a time. And if the genetics are there to create an addict, or to create someone who gets into a situation where it seems he or she cannot stop doing this thing that he or she does to escape, then we have an addict born, you know. And as I say, if the genetics are there, and you're compulsively finding a way to escape how you feel, basically, you will become an addict over time, because it's deemed to be a progressive disease as opposed to something you catch or something like that. So when I'm talking here, and Jason wasn't supposed to be my guest, so don't be too hard on him. Don't let me be too hard on him. But when you think of that in your own life, there's certain areas you feel in control and some you don't. Can you just off the top, think of anything in your own life that falls into that category, not being in control, or wanting to be in control more but not being able to?
With my current situation with my my kidney issues, like I wish I had control to not have the kidney issue. I realize that I need to go to for dialysis treatments 3 times a week, and it's up to the care of the doctors to help me get through these things, to put me on the right balance of medication, and there's some things I can eat better and things like that. Sure, I can control those things, but there's some things I can't control when it comes to my health, that I have to trust the doctors, and they have their care plan set out for me, and just to know that dialysis, I have to give it time to work. And
And ultimately, and you're faced with the uncertainty of the medical profession in a lot of ways.
Right,
and
exactly.
I don't mean that it's totally uncertain. It's obviously works. It's worked well in many instances for you. You're older than you could have been already, sort of thing.
That's true, exactly. Yeah, right.
That goes for all of us, but
For sure.
But it's uniquely visible for you. Like you said, you got one kidney from your sister.
That's right.
God bless her. And they you know, 10 years is sort of maybe an average, and you've had yours 20.
Yeah, almost 20 years. So,
And now you're, of course, looking for the next solution, which is obviously over time a new one.
Right.
And folks, if, you know, anybody who just off the top just feels something inside them and says, I want to help this situation, you look for Jason Rumbaugh, whether you're looking online or his block party show that he hosts every Saturday
night,
I believe.
Yeah.
And find him, and or find this radio station, 102.9 FM here in Stouffville, and connect with him. And it's possible to do that. And I have a friend, actually, and it happens to be in this city, so he can't do that anymore, Jay, but he did that. He just heard one day that somebody needed one, and he said, "I'll give him one." It's almost like in his case, like he says, like he knew when something came on him like that, it was just the right thing. It was like God talking to him, sort of thing, and he just did it, and he's been fine. That's probably 20 years ago, actually.
Wow.
And okay. I don't know how the recipient is at this point, but very similar, and local fella. Used to go to church with him here.
That's great.
Yeah, at the old missionary church before they moved and became Eastridge.
Okay.
Neat. So there's a lot, and all of us find a time when we have to realize we are not really in control.
Right.
You know, and it's how we handle it after that that makes a difference in our lives. Will we be jumping from one thing to another? Unfortunately for the genetically so inclined to be an addict, that person has to jump from one thing or another. Once he or she gets hooked on something, the mechanisms are put in place, and the changes within the brain and the chemistry are there, and they need satisfaction. And if it's not gambling, and we see this all the time, people will be, for instance, alcoholic, can't stop the alcoholism, but at some point, with help, they become capable of living as long as they, you know, use their whatever coping system they have to the max. And when they have that, they seem efficient and able to even do something, not only well, something else other than drink. And that something else will generally be a very effective person in the industry, wherever, who will rise right to the top and will actually become a workaholic. And because a workaholic seems much more satisfying, not only to himself but to herself, but to society in general. You know, the workaholic is not fighting or getting in trouble or, you know, having to break windows to get more booze or anything like that. So it's, but that person is still not well. And that's what people out there need to recognize. It's not just abstaining from something that changes the person at the core. It's it's a program for life, whatever that program is, to keep a person with that bent away from using the wrong thing to satisfy his needs. And even if someone does become effective in the, we'll say, the business world, that person can be still effective but needs to follow certain ways so that that person can be a family man as well as a rich man, and all of these things can be done, but they need a program for life that exists in tandem with whatever their bent is. You know, if they tend to lean one way or the other, they need somewhat of a control mechanism, but something which is possible and visible, not perfect, but possible, visible and effective, like putting things in order, congregating with others who are in the same boat, even if they've got a handle on the abstinence, they know at the core there's a lot of work to be done to, not change a person at the core, but give them effective coping mechanisms for whatever is compulsion, addiction happens to be. So I think with that, Jay, I believe we should probably take a break, pay a few bills.
Yeah, time to pay those bills.
Carry on.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.